The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1840, the patent was registered for the telegraph, and in 1877, the first commercial telephone service in the world began operating in Ontario under the direction of Alexander Graham Bell. It would be a long road to travel before people could look at amusingly captioned pictures of cats, text while driving, or play Angry Birds, but hey, it was a start. In 1964, radio astronomers Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson stumbled across the first sign of the cosmic microwave background, a microwave signal indicating a 2.7 Kelvin background radiation emanating from every point in the universe, possibly the leftover radiation from the birth of the universe. This monumental discovery would win the researchers a Nobel Prize for Physics in 1978. In 1977, NASA won congressional approval of its largest budget in a decade, though not without a fight. The most contentious item in the budget, and the one that Congress wanted dead, was a Jupiter Orbiter and Atmospheric Entry Probe, scheduled for a 1982 launch. That probe, which would later be named Galileo, was later delayed into the late 80s because it relied on the shuttle to deliver it into space. The other major budget item was for a telescope to be carried into Earth orbit by the shuttle, which would later be named the Hubble Space Telescope.
The Space Telescope is scheduled for deployment by the shuttle orbiter in 1983. Looking from space with instruments in space, we can see the universe in ways that are impossible from the ground, bringing us closer to even greater discoveries in cosmic astronomy.
Hubble was also on the minds of the crew of Space Shuttle Columbia when they lifted off in this day in 1996.
We have a go for main engine start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have liftoff of the Space Shuttle Columbia on an International Life Science and Microgravity Mission.
Houston now controlling the flight of Columbia.
Houston, Columbia is in the roll program. Roger, roll, Columbia.
A mission devoted to microgravity research in the Space Lab module mounted in Columbia's cargo bay. Also during this flight, maneuvers were practiced that could boost Hubble's orbit by several miles without damaging it. Born today in 1928, actor Martin Landau. He later won an Oscar for his haunting portrayal of the aging Bela Lugosi in Tim Burton's movie Ed Wood, but sci-fi fans from the 70s know him as Commander John Koenig, leader of Moonbase Alpha.
Attention all sections Alpha.
This is Commander John Koenig.
As you know, our moon has been blasted out of orbit. We have been completely cut off from planet Earth. As we are, we have power, environment, and therefore, the possibility of survival. If we should try to improvise a return to Earth, without travel plots, without full resources, it is my belief that we would fail. Therefore, in my judgment, we do not try.
Jack Kilby, who invented the integrated circuit while working at Texas Instruments, died on this day in 2005. In 1970, Jon Pertwee's first season as the third Doctor Who came to a world-shattering end.
Where did you go? Where did the TARDIS console take you?
Same time, same place. Only a different dimension. It was a parallel world, Liz. Terrible things are happening there. Terrible things. It wasn't this Earth, and yet it was. I didn't go backwards into the past or forwards into the future. I slipped sideways.
Although it was an abrupt end for the Doctor's fellow scientist, Liz Shaw, what no one knew at the time was that this was her final appearance, and in a rare occurrence, no farewell scene was written. In 1977, the fourth and final TV movie starring TV's Patrick Duffy as the Man from Atlantis aired on NBC.
Why did you call me back? I am not finished yet.
We've got more samples than we can handle. This trip is just to test your responses, not to locate mineral deposits.
Why do you want mineral deposits from the seafloor? Do you not have the same minerals on land?
As television executives tried to figure out how they were supposed to do science fiction on the small screen in a post-Star Wars world without a Lucasfilm-sized budget, the Man from Atlantis movies did well enough in the ratings that Man from Atlantis became a weekly series later that year. In 2015, Darth Vader was back, and boy did he look not happy.
You lack imagination, Minister, when it comes to producing results.
Lord Vader, with all due respect, you and Governor Tarkin are asking for miracles. If the rebels have left Lothal, then...
If the rebels have left, then we must draw them back. And if they are here, we must draw them out. We will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors.
As the second season of the animated series Star Wars Rebels not only brought the Dark Lord of the Sith into the storyline, but his former apprentice from Star Wars The Clone Wars, Ahsoka Tano. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, expanded memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphordot Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Escape pod was created and produced by Earl Kane.